We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
What do they do when the water started to rise?
You know, at first, we didn't realize it was going to be that bad. I mean, everybody referenced 83, you know, thinking, oh, it's not going to be that bad.
Well, worse than 83.
That was our fault Friday. It's a lot worse than 83.
CNN talking with a Louisiana resident in the immediate aftermath of last year's devastating floods near Baton Rouge. I'm Tom Cran. Good afternoon. Paul Huttner's here with this week's Climate Cast. Paul,
hey, Tom.
What are we learning now, a year later, about the links between climate change and this unprecedented flood?
Tom, one emerging area of climate research studies links between these individual extreme weather events and climate change. Extreme weather attribution studies connect the dots between a warmer, wetter atmosphere and enhanced individual weather events. Now, here in Minnesota, we're seeing that trend in heavier rainfall events like the multi-inch deluge we saw just last night. And one year after one of Louisiana's worst floods, the climate attribution signals for that event are clear. I asked Climate Central's John Upton to break down some flood numbers to quantify the Great Louisiana Flood one year later.
The enormity, the vastness, the devastation of the floods last year is very difficult to comprehend. It received very little media attention at the time. But, 13 people lost their lives. Almost 100,000 houses were flooded, were actually damaged by the floods. And these are not small apartments. These are 3, 4, 5-bedroom houses, often home to large families. So we'll never know exactly how many people were impacted by these floods, but it was easily touching on 500,000 people down there. The flooding was centered around Baton Rouge, but it was really a problem throughout a fairly large section of southern Louisiana.
Let's talk a little about the unusual nature of this flood. Water came from places people had never seen it flood before. I know the normal drainage channels were completely overwhelmed. Why was this flood different than many other flash floods that we see?
Louisiana is a state that sees a lot of flooding. It sees a lot of storms. It sees a lot of storm activity. It gets flooding come in from the coastal regions, coming down from the rivers. But what they saw last year was just an absolutely unprecedented amount of rain that fell over several days. A storm set up early in August last year. It just sat there, gathered strength, gathered force over a week or two. Eventually, when it was very full of water, another storm system collided with it. And it just triggered this absolute deluge that overwhelmed the rivers, overwhelmed the canals, streets that had never anticipated seeing flooding. There was no flood insurance for a lot of these properties. The waters just came up from the rivers down the streets and absolutely inundated houses, sometimes in the middle of the night. Many people had to be evacuated. It took authorities and it took residents. It took meteorologists very much by surprise.
As somebody who's covered events like this for Climate Central for years, are you seeing more of this kind of extreme flood event?
We are absolutely seeing heavier rain. We're seeing more coastal flooding, but we're also seeing more inland flooding. So what's happening is as temperatures rise, the atmosphere can actually hold more water before it dumps it all out. So we are seeing a trend of heavier rain, greater floods, and on top of that, the storm that we saw in Louisiana one year ago, it actually, there have been two climate studies since then. One of them found that the climate change had caused this type of heavy rainfall, the likelihood of this type of heavy rainfall to increase by a factor of probably a doubling over the last century. But even since the 1980s, some of the climate scientists who analyzed this storm, they found that the way the atmosphere actually set this thing up had become 20% more likely since the 1980s. So we are seeing much heavier rain around the world because of climate change, but it's also influencing weather patterns in a way that, in this case, contributed to a very heavy deluge.
How about the ground truth, John? A year later, how much assistance are flood victims getting?
This was a storm. This was a flood that not many people know about. The public is not really aware. The American public doesn't really know about this storm. And that has trickled through to a very lackluster response by Congress. Congress has really just appropriated a small portion of what they need. If you go into the very poor, the very low-income neighborhoods, you still see a level of devastation that is absolutely shocking 1 year later, because they simply aren't getting the help from the federal government that they need to help put their lives back together.
Your piece in Climate Central made some interesting points about that, linking lower news coverage, comparing it to Sandy and Katrina. What's the intersection here of extreme weather, news coverage, and politics?
So Louisiana is a poor state. It's not very influential politically. So as climate change causes disasters to occur more frequently and with more intensity, what we would expect to see and what we're already seeing is Congress becoming a little bit tighter, a little bit less generous when it comes to helping some states and some areas recover from these disasters. Now, the poor are already disproportionately vulnerable to natural disasters. And as we see more and more disasters, and as Congress becomes more averse to providing federal help with the recoveries, what we're seeing and what we can expect to see more of is the poor states, the poorer residents being very much left behind when it comes to recoveries.
John, the data that we look at shows that one of the strongest climate change signals we're seeing is this increase in the magnitude of these extreme flood events. Our 20th century infrastructure, in many cases, just not able to contain these 21st century rainfall events. And your piece points out that the 20th century insurance models and government recovery programs like FEMA may now be inadequate to pay for recovery from these extreme flood events. What does that say about the kind of economic shock waves we may see in our future as climate continues to produce more extreme weather events?
Disasters like these are economically devastating. A lot of people lost work in Baton Rouge and in Louisiana after these floods. A lot of businesses had to shut down. You can still drive around and see a lot of empty storefronts. A lot of businesses have simply not recovered. People are still out of work. So that's one thing. But then you've also got, you know, this long-running neglect in the U.S. and in other Western countries, where we're just not investing, as heavily as we need to be in infrastructure. And it's the infrastructure that helps protect us from natural disasters. So as climate change makes natural disasters worse, what we really need, is better infrastructure, more pumps, more clear canals, better ways of getting the water out of the streets, into the rivers, and eventually back into the ocean. But we're seeing the reverse of that. We're seeing a deterioration of our infrastructure at the same time that we need that infrastructure even more to protect us against these worsening disasters that climate change is causing.
John Upton with Climate Central, good insight, and thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So here's the data on this. NOAA and other sources show our Earth is now roughly 1 degree Celsius warmer than pre-industrial times. For each degree of warming, atmospheric water vapor increases about 4 to 5%. And climate scientists say that translates into about a 10 to 15% increase in some of the heaviest precipitation events. So the unfolding story, Tom, of climate change appears to favor an increase in these damaging and costly flash flood events.
Talking about heavy precipitation events, last night's heavy rainfall across the state. What can we say about climate connections there, Paul?
Yeah, here's what we can say when you look at those rainfall events, which were between 2 and 9 inches from the Twin Cities west through Willmar and Redwood Falls. NOAA has a product called Atlas 14, and that calculates the recurrence intervals of rainfall events at specific sites. The Twin Cities NWS reported 9.45 inches of rain in Redwood Falls last night. So statistically speaking, that's a 1 in 500 to 1,000 year recurrence interval. So Tom, last night's rainfall event may have been yet the latest in a series of 1,000 year extreme rainfall events in Minnesota in the past 10 years. And it was 10 years ago this week that southeast Minnesota, that flood set the new all-time Minnesota state 24-hour rainfall record at Hoka with over 15 inches. Tom, 9 of Minnesota's 16 heaviest rainfall events going back to 1860 have occurred since 2000, so that climate signal for more extreme rainfall events is showing up in the data here in Minnesota.
Paul Huttner with the Climate Cast. You hear it on All Things Considered Thursdays at this time. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Tom.